So last week we finished him in Reish Mem Dalet. In theory, we're up to Reish Mem Hey, but we have to go back. We have to go back and just clarify a few points. Back in... So first of all, in Sivav, which we did very quickly, so that discusses the possibility of Jewish businesses operating even on Shabbos. So those of us who are very, you know, local and just like teach Torah and not involved in the world, so it's like, oh, you know, businesses don't operate on Shabbos. But as Rabbi Yehuda pointed out last week, there are many, many Jewish businesses that run, but that are owned by very firm people that are running to some degree on Shabbos. Now, not Nick David's delicatessen, but hotels that are owned by Jews, and nursing homes is a biggie, and there's just all sorts of different types of businesses that somehow do things on Shabbos. So it is very complicated, and one needs to really discuss it with a big person. Did you have some information for? You said you were going to talk to people about.
I was supposed to. I didn't say that.
The Mishnah Berurah does discuss selling your restaurant to the guy for that. Ramesh is not into selling things to the guy. Not into that. He's afraid of what it's going to lead to. But the Mishnah Berurah does talk about it a lot. I sent an email to a big rav in America, but I didn't yet get a response for exactly how they do it. But they are definitely very Torah-dicka people running major businesses that have to be involved, you know, in something on Shabbos.
What means selling?
I don't know. I don't know enough about that. You know, one thing I saw, let's say, nursing homes is a huge Jewish from business, owning apartment buildings, managing apartment buildings. So that I saw. He wanted to say that when the Goyisha tenant calls the Goyisha super to fix the leaky toilet on Shabbos, that's not considered to be the shaliach of... He's a kablan, and he's really considered to be working, even though he's being paid overall by the Jew who owns the building or manages the building, but that's considered to be a local thing he's doing. It's not like the Jew is asking him to do it. The guy, the tenant, is asking him to do it, and that is disconnected from the... Anyway, it's very, very, very complicated. Fine. I don't want to talk about it because I don't have enough... I don't have anything to say about it. But there are obviously ways of doing it because there are many Torah-dicka people who are doing it. Fine. That was Sif-up. Sif, hey, we spoke out, but not enough. So there we had the Machlokes Rambam Ravid. If you commission the guy to, he's your typist, he's your seamstress, she's your seamstress, to work for you for a year or two, the Rambam says that's okay, that's kablonis, the Ravid doesn't like it. There's a whole Machlokes exactly what the Rambam Ravid exactly talking about. Then the Rambam goes on to say that's only if it's a specific job. But once it's, you're my personal assistant, anything I need, you do. So there's always stuff that I need. So that's going to be usher according to everybody. And why is it usher according to everybody? Now, it sounds like they're both, even the Ravid who assers, are they arguing on the nature of the work? This one says it's a kablan, it's mutter. This one says it's only a sfer yom. I don't think that's the case. It seems to be they both agree that this is a kablan. But the Ravid is saying by having him work like this, it's basically like telling him to work on Shabbos. And that you're not allowed to do even to a kablan. You're not allowed to tell any guy to work for you on Shabbos. So if you have, you don't have so much work, so the Rambam says, okay, you don't have so much work, so he doesn't have to do it on Shabbos, he can do it on Sunday. But when there's a lot of work, so then, or it's, there's a lot of work because he's not hired for a specific job, he's hired for a lot of different things, for everything, whatever I need, I always need something. And Mimela, it's like asking him to do it on Shabbos, and that's going to be awesome. Based on that, the Mishnah Berurah goes on to say, so that you have to protest when it comes to his lashon shvachot. When it comes to maids, you have to stop them. So we touched on this last week. So there's different ways of looking at maids. In America, it's very common. People have a cleaning lady, or they have a maid who mamish lives in the house with them. So there's different ways of looking at the maid. The maid gets paid by the day, so you could say that she's paid to work on Shabbos, and therefore she can't do anything on Shabbos. And you could even say that she's worse than the geisha next door neighbor. because the geisha next to the neighbor, because it's complicated and we're not really there yet, but there's two problems. There's two different inyanim when it comes to Amir Lahakam. I'm not allowed to tell a guy to do something for me on Shabbos. I'm also not allowed to receive a direct benefit from something a guy does on Shabbos. We're going to get to this in a couple of months and like Reish Shayim Vav. So I can, the geisha neighbor can come over and do something for me as long as I don't explicitly tell him to do it. It's whatever, it's a remiza, shalob, lashon, tzivoy, which we'll discuss later. And there's no direct benefit. Meaning you can turn off a light but not on a light. On a light is direct benefit. I couldn't read, now I can read, direct benefit. That's usur. But I'm trying to sleep, the light is annoying me, they can turn off the light because they're not giving me a positive benefit. They're removing something annoying. Okay? Put it on hold, we'll discuss it.
Again, if you don't tell them to do it.
Yes, there's two separate din. One is the din in Amira, but even if you get around the Amira, you don't tell them anything. You do it for you. If it's something positive, turn on the light, that's a big problem. You can't be nana from that. So, the next door neighbor can do certain things for you. If there's no Amira, halachically prohibited Amira, and there's no direct benefit, the next door neighbor can do it. But your worker might be considered like an extension of you. It might be considered a shlichus. It's like a... That's the Amir al-Akum Issa. That we're doing something for you, and it's worse than the next door neighbor. Because the next door neighbor is, you didn't tell him to do it. It's no hana, that's okay. But once it's at your work and it's an extension of you, it might be much, much worse. So that's a discussion if the maid is a, like a schir yom, paid by the hour, which they, I think they generally are. However, Ramosha Feinstein, Shlomo Zalman, brought down in Simcha Ben Cohen's book, he says that nowadays our maids, and like the maids in the olden days, like they were basically like slaves. Like they did whatever you want, whenever you want. They had no days off. They had no hours off. They just, you like kind of owned them. They were kind of like your Evan Kenini. And nowadays it's not like that. They have days off. They have hours off, and they can do things kind of whenever they want. They have flexibility. They basically have to get a job done. They gotta clean the house, whatever. So therefore, they're more like kablanim. So we already discussed, it's very problematic. A kablan can wash my clothing in his Chinese laundromat, but not in my house. So if you tell the maid to do something that is theoretically mutter on Shabbos, like wash dishes, and she's going to do it in a way that's prohibited with hot water and a sponge, that's okay. Because she's not doing that for me. She's washing dishes for me. She can wash it in a kosher way. She's choosing to wash it in a way that's prohibited. That's to help herself. That's fine. That has nothing to do with me. Now, in terms of having the maid turn off the light, so if you... Yeah?
Would she be allowed to wash the dishes that you don't need? In other words, that
I think they do. The things that she normally does, they let her do on Shabbos. Even if it's a little bit iffy. They say she's a kablan, and when she's working now, it's to save herself time later. And they're making on things like that, where there's no direct benefit, and there's no amira, and there's a chayadim that says she can't do anything that looks like you told her to do it now because it's something that's unusual. Things that she always does. She always cleans the floor, she always does the dishes, that they say she's allowed to do. Why the kablan is not working out? Because it's Mar Zion because it looks like you told them to do it. Then there's a whole discussion, what if it's something that's always done, but kablan is, so maybe there's no Mar Zion. There's still, there's this, we'll get there in Rishon Beis. There's this chayadim that if it looks like you told them to do it, it's going to be usur. Even if it doesn't relate to Schir Yom. There's two problems. One is it looks like a Schir Yom, and the other is, which the chayadim, there's one chayadim goes to Chumra, one chayadim goes to Kula, like I'll be that Schir Yom business. So in Rabbi Cohen's book, he brings down four requirements to have the maid do something for you on Shabbos. First of all, something without noise, that does not make noise. I'm still trying to figure out what's the Zilzul Shabbos with the noise business. It's very not pashut. He has a little piece in the back. It's still not pashut at all. But that's also what I'm saying. I understand why it's not a proper thing to do. I just, to find a real source on halacha, we'll get to the Rechaim, but it's still not so... Rechaim is the official source, but it's not pashut. It's not so pashut. I mean, we all have air conditioners running on Shabbos. Leaving aside the Shabbos clock issue, which Ramosha didn't like bechlal, he didn't want.
Remember that.
Ramosha didn't want air conditioners on Shabbos clock. But forget about the Shabbos clock.
Through the 80s, nobody was doing air conditioners on
Shabbos. Is that
true? Yes.
Yeah, Lower East Side, where Rav Moshe ruled.
More than,
I don't know.
He has a problem.
Yeah, he doesn't like Shabbos. At all. He yells, he doesn't like Shabbos.
I remember nobody.
Because you can end up running a whole factory on a Shabbos clock and do everything. He said, Chazal asked Goyim, and if they would have Shabbos clock, it's the same thing. To have a Goy do work for you is like having a Shabbos. He did not ask the lights. He said that was already accepted before he came on the scene, I guess. But everything else he didn't like.
No, I think it was actually during his lifetime. I think during his lifetime, there wasn't a single shul in my neighborhood that had air conditioning on Shabbos through a timer.
And then he lived in the Lower East Side, which is where Rav Moshe lived.
After he was nifter, I think it changed. People do all the time.
Okay. So, no, so my point is, even without a Shabbos clock, why you let it have an air conditioner on Shabbos? It makes noise.
Right.
Is that a problem making noise? If the noise is a problem, it's a chazanish. The generator, that's the firmest thing we have on Shabbos. The generator makes a lot of noise. How are you allowed to have a generator? The kosher electricity on a generator makes a lot of noise. We'll get to that rational basis. What? I don't know. Okay, I don't know. It's not so plush. We'll get to rational basis when we get to Rechaim. That's one thing. They don't want the guy doing something in your house that makes noise. The guy can't do something that gives you a direct time knowledge, just like the next door neighbor can't do something in your house. It's a very dark room. Nobody can turn on that light. Not the maid that works for you, and not the next door neighbor. That's a direct time knowledge. It can't be something, you can't tell the guy to do something for you on Shabbos. Not your next door neighbor and not the maid. And then it has to be something that doesn't look like you asked him to do it. But the regular things that she does, she takes out the garbage and cleans the dishes and washes the floor and all those things, even though it might involve prohibitions, some bigger than others, that's still going to be okay, they say. If it fulfills those four conditions. So, taking out the garbage, turning off a light, washing the floor, all those things are not a direct enough, does not, no noise. You didn't tell him to do it on Shabbos. You can't tell him to do it on Shabbos. So, you didn't tell him to do it on Shabbos. She just knows. So, every day she washes the floor, whatever, I don't know. Or she washes it whenever it's dirty.
Because if she turns on the light for her benefit, so you can't get enough.
No, you can. If it's for her benefit, that's okay. If she turns it on for herself, that's okay.
What's the light? What's the my Shabbos?
You can tell them everything before Shabbos?
No. No way.
So
you
can't.
No.
So how do you get around the fact that it's on my Shabbos? You get
on the light, my Shabbos? No, it's not on my Shabbos. Only the for you. If it's a guy, if it's a Jew, it's different. Okay, that's some finishing touches on Reish and Dal. It's an infinite simon. Okay, now we're at the Reish Mem Hey. Okay, so Reish Mem Hey is a very continuing along these complicated, difficult topics, is a Jew and a guy being partners in a business on Shabbos. So this is a continuation of that same Gemara. Up to now, we would discuss in Reish Mem Gimel, we discussed the Braisa on Chaf Aleph on Mabez and Avodah Zarah. In Reish Mem Dalid, we discussed the Tosus on Chaf Aleph on Mabez. And Reish Mem Hey, we're going to discuss the Gemara on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. Okay, so the Gemara over there has a story. Starts with a story. There were two Mori Koi, not Moroccans, not Americans, but gardeners, basically. They planted a certain type of spice. Okay, and one was a Jew, one was a guy. The Ovi Kachav Noki B'Shabbos. So the guy worked on Shabbos, and the Jew worked on Sunday. Also, Kami the Rava, Sharlu, came from the Rava. Rava said, Mutter, the guy works on Shabbos, the Jew works on Sunday, that's okay. So Ravina heard about this. Eisei Ravina the Rava. Ravina asked Akasha, Yisroel va'oivei kochavim shekiblu sadeh b'shutfus. If a Jew and a guy get a sadeh as partners, Rashi says, as they are joint arisim, I guess. It's ba'arisus. I mean, neither one of them owns it, but they took it together, and they're going to get, let's say, 50% to share, and then the Bala sadeh is going to get 50%. You can't come after the fact and say, okay, you worked on Shabbos, you take what you did on, you know, for what you worked on Shabbos, and I'll take for what I worked on Sunday. Because then it's like, he's working for me on Shabbos, I'm working for him on Sunday. But if this is the original arrangement, when they make the partnership, then it's going to be mutter. Because then it's like the Jew has no shaykhus this field on Shabbos. It's not he's working for me on Shabbos. He's not working for me on Shabbos. On Shabbos, the field's not mine. It's Shabbos, the field's his. On Sunday, he's a good Christian. The field's not his. The field's mine. It's not that he's mafkir, but it's not shaykh to him on Shabbos. Vimbo lecheshbon aser. Okay, what does this mean? So if they come, so here's the machlokes. We're going to see machlokes. We've shown him. At the end, they come and they say, "Okay, you got the Shabbos prophets. I got the Sunday prophets. And now let's make it even, Stephen, and split it up the rest so that it turns out we both came out even, Stephen." So that's going to be usher. The question is that with the Tanai? Is that what? Without the Tanai? The Rashi says it's without the Tanai. Fine. So Rava was embarrassed. So the Gleim Ilsa, because he said it was mutter. In the end, it turned out that they had made it Tanai originally. And everything is great. Fine. Then the end, the Gemara continues. Then the Gemara has a question. What if they do their thing, the Jew just doesn't show up on Shabbos, and the guy probably just doesn't show up on Sunday, or whatever, and they just split it even, Stephen. So the Gemara asks the Kasha, Stama Mai. They want to split it even, Stephen, without any particular arrangement, and the Gemara doesn't answer the Kasha. It brings a Raya like this, brings a Raya like that, and the conclusion, the end of the parak, Ela Mehal Leka Mash Mimino. You can't prove anything from this, whatever, this price. Okay, so in that case, when they come at the end and they want to split it, even Stephen. So Rashi and the Rambam say that they didn't make it tonight. If they make it tonight, then in the Chinami, they can split it even Stephen. Because Shabbos is not nothing to do with me, and therefore we can split things up any way we want. The Ravid and the Ram say, no, even when they made it tonight, Mitrila, you still can't split it up like that. Because that just shows there was no Tanai. If we're splitting it even Stephen, it just shows that the guy was working for me on Shabbos and the whole thing was just a hoax. Okay, then Tosfos over there brings down a story with Rabbeinu Tam that there was a whole Maisa with an oven. I guess not every house had two ovens. So they had an oven, and the oven ended up, however it came about, but it ended up being owned by a Jew and a guy. So the Ri wanted to say, it's funny, we have Machokas Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri on Chaf Aleph, and we have Machokas Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri on Chaf Beis. In Chaf Aleph, the Ri was Machmir, Rabbeinu Tam was Mekel, and the Mekel changes, and Rabbeinu Tam sort of changed, either changed his mind to hold like the Ri, or it was just Machmir for himself, he didn't let the Goyim build his own house on Shabbos. We discussed that at length. Here it's the opposite. The Ri is Mekel, Rabbeinu Tam is Machmir, and the Ri in the end changes his mind and goes L'chumra. But what's the Svara? The Ri wanted to say, when you have a field, so when you work in the field on Shabbos, you're helping me, even though, meaning, you don't work in, you don't come to a field, plant at 9 in the morning, and then it grows at 10 o'clock, or 2 in the afternoon, and you pick what you, and you harvest what you planted. It's an investment, and you have to wait 3 months, 4 months, 6 months, whatever it is. So, that's by a sudden, you can't look at what each one really did. You don't know. Each one is mashbiach the field. Each one is working on the field. The field is now becoming more valuable or more productive, let's say. However, when you have a tanur, or you have a rechayim, or you have all these things that you charge admission, so then you open a Shabbos, and then and there, you're marviach, you're earning money. You open up the pool, 30 shekel to come into the pool. The pool, if the pool's open on Shabbos, and 100 people come, 100 times 30 is 3,000 shekel. You made 3,000 shekel today. It has nothing to do, let's say the guy did that, has nothing to do with the Jew, but by a field, so maybe the guy could do that, and it's not kashur to the Jew. So that's what the Ri wanted to say. It's not kashur to have anything aside for a field where you don't come out right away with the profits in your hand. The Ri wanted to say is mutter, and the Rabbeinu Tam wanted to say it's aser, because it's still like you told him to work there, and it's still fishy. And the Ri in the end changed his mind to hold like Rabbeinu Tam, because he found the Tosefta and Demai that says explicitly that there is no chilik between a field and everything else. Okay, let's see that inside. Okay, Reish Mem Hey. Yisrael, the Ena Yehudi, Shutafin, Ech, Yisna'a Gubi Shabbos. How should they, a Jew and a non-Jew are partners, how should they work on Shabbos? Okay, let's start with the Mishnah Berurah because he gives an introduction. Aleph, Yisrael Vein Yehudi. Da, Haheta Gomerhu, the proper way to do it, which is Mutter, Be'im HaYisrael, Yeshu Eze Eisek HaMalacha, B'Shutfas Ima Eini Yehudi. They have a business together. Sheyasnu mitchila. They should make a tnai, a condition, from the beginning, before they buy the business together. Kodem shelokhim b'shutfus, before they actually become these full-fledged partners. Avodat b'Shabbos v'tikach kefi malachtecha. You work on Shabbos. The Jew tells the guy, "You work on Shabbos, and you will be paid. You will benefit." Accordingly, hey, Rabba Ma'at, a little, whatever it is. Va'ani avod kenegdecha yom echa b'chol, and I will work on a weekday, and you'll be off that weekday. You're off every Sunday, or every Monday, or every Wednesday, whatever day they pick. And I will take kefi malachti, according to what I do. U'bishas chaluko, when it comes to splitting up the proceeds, yitol in yudhi schar avor ha-shabbos, the guy gets his reward for Shabbos, and then the Jew gets his reward for working on the Wednesday. Now, okay, I have to see. If you're keeping track, if it's a swimming pool, a public swimming pool, so it's very easy. Look how much money came in on Saturday, how much money came in on Wednesday. Wednesday belongs to the Jew, Shabbos belongs to the guy. If it's a field, it's more complicated, we'll see. But if they started the business without any contract, before they said, Ubishas Chaluka, and then when it comes to splitting up the profits, Omer Le'ini Yudi tells the guy, told Zakenegan Amolcha b'Shabbos, you take corresponding to what you worked on Shabbos, and I'll take corresponding to what I worked b'chol. Zehu Vadai Osir. That's for sure going to be Osir. The imlo hisnu mitchila, but if they did not make this tonight at the beginning, ubishas chaluka, when it comes to splitting up chalku stam b'shaveh, they just split it up even Steven. So that's the zeo baya b'gemara v'lo ifshita. That is the last question over there on the Gemara at the end of the first parak of Avodah Zarah, and the Gemara does not give an answer. Uposak harambam l'chumra, v'arosh l'kula, the Rambam goes l'chumra, the Rosh goes l'kula. And we'll see. V'amachaber sasam k'arambam. V'aramot pasak b'agol k'arosh b'makom hefse gadol. B'makom hefse gadol, the Ramah's maker. V'im hisnu kodim shebo lishtatev kanal. And if they made the tonight before they made this partnership, and then b'shas chaluka, and then when they made the, and then at the time when they're splitting up the proceeds, nisratu lachak b'shaveh, they agreed to split it even Stephen. So that's going to be mutter even according to the Rambam. Fine. Now let's see the mechab. Yisrael the ani yudi sheish them sade otanu or merchatz or rechayim shamayim b'shutfus. So he puts them all together, not like the Rebbe wanted to say. Rather, Rebbe Natan one because it was a tosefta that there is no difference between these different types of businesses. They're all the same. So you have a soul and a guy sheish lahem. They have a sade, a field, or a tanur, an oven, or a merchatz, a bathhouse, or a swimming pool, or rechayim shamayim. They have a water mill to grind wheat. B'shutfas, it's a partnership. Oh, shame shutfin b'chanut b'schorah. Or they have a store together with merchandise. Im hisnu mitzchila b'shashiv al ishtativ. If they made it tonight from the beginning when they came to make the partnership, when they brought the business together, or when the other one came into the business, she yes schar Shabbos le'enu di levado, that the schar for Shabbos belongs to the goy alone, im at b'marbe, regardless of whether that's a lot or a little. Uschar yom echa can I get my Shabbos yisrael levado, and the Jew will get one day, one weekday's worth of parnasa alone. He'll get Sunday, he'll get Shabbos. They open 7 days a week. Shabbos goes to the goy, Sunday goes to the Jew. The Jews in shul on Shabbos, the guy does whatever he does on Sunday, he's watching football. So that case is going to be mutter. The im lo is nu betchila, but if they did not make it tonight when they started the business, so kishiavo lachlok, when they come to split it up, no till in yudi schara shabbosos kulam, so then the guy should take all the money from all the shabbosos. 52 shabbosos he worked, and the Jew did not work, he gets schara of all the shabbosos. Tashar, and then the rest of the week, the other 6 days of the week, Chokna, so that they split 50-50. So the guy ends up with all the money from Shabbos, and then the rest of the week he's going to get 50%, and the Jew's going to get 50%, so the guy ends up with 50% plus Shabbos. Now, what if they don't know how much came in on Shabbos? If they don't know how much came in on Shabbos, so if they came up with $70,000, so one seventh of $70,000, $10,000 goes straight to the guy for Shabbos. 60 they split, 30-30, so the guy ends up with 40, 10 for Shabbos and 30 for the rest of the week, and the Jew ends up with 30. And then they split up the other 60 even steeper. Okay, this is a very long sif, so tomorrow we'll go through this again and get down the Mishnah Berurah, get it all down.
Splitting up evenly is okay or not?
We'll see.